Mini episode 1747 of the FDH Lounge is brought to you by Sportsology, delivering unconventional columns and webcasts about sports, TV, music, movies, and more. Follow them on the web at sportsology.com.
The FDH Lounge. You want to schedule your life around it.
A long time ago, on a gloomy, wet Cleveland spring night, two men stand alone amidst the late night drizzle. Their voices echo across the vacant station parking lot as they debate the merits of the great American radio show that have been missing for far too long. On that night, an idea was born. That idea became the FDH Lounge. Welcome to the FDH Lounge.
Welcome to mini episode 1747 of the FDH Lounge. This is FDH managing partner Rick Morris here with our preview of All In 2024. A few weeks back, we previewed SummerSlam, which is always pretty much the second biggest sports entertainment show of the year, along with the Royal Rumble behind WrestleMania. Today, we preview the biggest pro wrestling show of the year, being held at Wembley Stadium for the second consecutive year, and as the third overall version of the event, with the first being in Chicago, as an independent pay-per-view in 2018 that paved the way for the creation of All Elite Wrestling a few months later. Here are the top five notes of interest about this year's card. Number five. For a promotion that is missing some big stars due to injury right now, including Kenny Omega, Eddie Kingston, Adam Cole, and Jay White, the card is notable for not featuring some big names in featured matches. Now, the promotion has been talking about how loaded the Casino Gauntlet match is going to be with only a few names known, so maybe there will be some of the aforementioned stars shockingly returning from injury here, and or some of the names not yet on the card showing up there. But with ticket sales lagging well below last year on a stadium show, and pay-per-view numbers likely to parallel that, why wouldn't you put the likes of Kaz Okada, Jon Moxley, Hangman Adam Page, Samoa Joe, and maybe even Mark Briscoe and Claudio Castagnoli in featured matches? Instead, Okada is featured in a big defense of his Continental title against Claudio on the go-home edition of Dynamite, and maybe that will set up a last-minute title defense at Wembley. But why would you wait until the last minute to put either of these guys in a featured match on the card? Wasn't the point of backing up the Brinks truck to sign Okada getting him for huge matches on your biggest shows of the year? And by the way, we didn't even list Ricky Starks and Rusev with these aforementioned stars not on the card for obvious reasons. A loaded Casino Gauntlet match doesn't draw money, especially since it's not like the men's Royal Rumble match, which is almost always the focal point of the show, and the participants are almost always known ahead of time because they are fighting for the stakes of a theoretical, at least, WrestleMania main event. But if this event is quote-unquote your WrestleMania, then why are you cramming together some of your available big stars into surprise appearances, or any appearances for that matter, in a battle royal, assuming they're not off the show altogether? That doesn't make any sense at all. We hate to say it, but leaving available talent on the bench or in highly non-featured ways is something that the Fed never does at Mania, SummerSlam, or the Royal Rumble in the Triple H era. Number four, the questions don't stop there. Now, our show is very pro-AEW on balance and supportive of them through the overwhelming amount of bad faith criticism that so many grifters aim at them on a regular basis. So it truly gives us pain to be critical of anything in more than a passing way. But we also can't ignore what we see. Both the World Tag Team title and World Trios title defenses devolved into multi-tag schmoz matches in similar ways when a number one contender was not crowned. So the Young Bucks now face off at Wembley for a second straight year against FTR, and the Acclaimed is in the mix this year. None of the three teams feel particularly hot at the moment. And the World Trios champs, the Patriarchy, which is a successful act, go up against the parent fellow heels, the Bang Bang Gang. Apparently no longer Bullet Club Gold because, and we'll speculate here, maybe the promotion would have to kick back merch money to New Japan for the name. And new baby faces, the House of Black, will also be in the match, along with the Trios unit to be determined, on the go-home collision the night before the pay-per-view. We wish that we were kidding about that. Couldn't most of these guys have been saved for the casino gauntlet match rather than watering down what should have been legitimately important middle-of-the-card matches on the biggest show of the year? Frankly, the casino gauntlet should have been on the pre-show with the main card only having tightly promoted matches. If morale is that bad that you have to load up the main show with so many extra bodies, then that would be truly depressing. And the Jericho hook match is just the culmination of a stale program that has rehashed many of Y2J's previous veteran versus a young guy angles since the start of AEW. Jericho trying to parody staleness and go meta with it still doesn't erase the staleness. Number three. Fortunately, it gets better from there. The disappointment from the depth of the build for this show actually comes from a great positive. The fact that AEW has had arguably the best five-year run for quality depth on their pay-per-view shows of any promotion ever, sports entertainment or pro wrestling. But this is not a good time to deviate from that, particularly with live attendance and ratings having declined in 2023 and 2024. But again, the matches between the bottom of the card and the top few are stronger. True, the Statlander and Stokely versus Willow and Ishii match will be on 0 hour rather than the pay-per-view itself, and it will be more of a comedy match than this blood feud calls for right now, but at least these are overperformers in a program that fans want to see. Promotional pillars Darby Allin and Jack Perry have been in a heated program, no pun intended, and their coffin match for the TNT title should be action-packed, even if Perry's brand new homemade version of the belt does appear to spoil the outcome. And the casino gauntlet seems likely to live up to its billing, even if, again, star power used here could be better allocated on the card. Number two, we generally regard the strength of a show primarily by the strength of the main event combined with the number of matches that are plausible semi-main events, and by that standard, this show is extremely promising. We've been building up to the really good stuff, even if it took us longer than we wanted to get there. The main event build started super weird, but has heated up substantially, which we'll get to in a minute. But there are three huge matches that are plausible semi-main events, and some could maybe even be regarded as co-main events. England's own Will Ospreay, in our opinion the best in the world today, is in a gigantic match, chasing back the international title that he used to hold that was rebranded the American title by gigantic troll MJF, who has become a mega heel at the outset of this feud. The crowd may not be hotter all night than they will be for Ospreay, and when he hits that tiger driver on MJF, it may be one of the most cathartic moments in this business all year long. Ironically, for a promotion often criticized for not having depth of storytelling on the women's side, both women's title matches are very highly anticipated. Timeless Toni Storm defending her women's world title against former protege Mariah May in the culmination of the All About Eve / Sunset Boulevard storyline is the single greatest angle on this show, and these great workers will put on a match that will equal the build-up. Mercedes Moné defending the TBS title against Britt Baker goes down as a dream match between two of the biggest stars in opposing promotions over the past several years. Granted, the build-up for this peaked early with Baker shockingly gate-crashing Moné's post-match celebration at Forbidden Door, and then Britt's initial babyface promo detailing her health issues, but the match should be very good. And if it culminates in Jamie Hayter making her return in her home country to save DMD from Mercedes and her new muscle Camille, it will blow the proverbial roof off of Wembley. Number one, the main event demonstrated how AEW is not afraid to go against the grain, which is brave because sometimes the build can be bumpy going against expectations, but it appears to have landed right where it needs to with no time to spare. With Bryan Danielson known to be headed to semi-retirement at best within the next few months, he probably wasn't the most popular choice initially for this spot rather than the stars that AEW is building around for the next few years. And then the build starts with Bryan talking about wanting to be present in the moment, acknowledging his lack of success in pursuing the AEW world title, his dismal one-loss record on his semi-retirement tour, and that made the match really appear to be head-scratching. But this is really a bold choice that AEW sometimes makes, which is to go rope-a-dope and be willing to tank a direction initially just to rescue it with a strong planned course correction. The fight and fire that Bryan has shown with the match approaching, including putting his career on the line, combined with Swerve Strickland embracing the role of full-on heel in his biggest world title defense to date, has redeemed the choice of this match as the main event. It wasn't the most conventional way of getting there, but Tony Khan does deserve credit for going against convention more than most promoters. This card has to serve not only as a strong standalone as the biggest one of the year for the promotion, but the spearhead for the busiest time of the year, with All Out coming up September 7th, Grand Slam on September 25th, and WrestleDream on October 12th. With the new TV deal about to be announced, let's hope that the promotion can build momentum at Wembley and sustain it through the next few months. And oh, by the way, get ROH in with the TV deal, even if it's on Max. Thank you for joining us for this mini episode of the FDH Lounge.